Every year, the U.S. is drenched with some 200 million pounds of the weed killer glyphosate. Manufacturers say this drenching is safe, but others say it's causing their cancer, and they are going to court. And so today we pause to ask, which will win? Cancer patient Dwayne Johnson or Bayer Monsanto Corporation?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,157th edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Montevideo who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Folks, a few years ago, I had the opportunity to sit in on a panel of the International Biotech Conference in Chicago. The discussion focused on the impact of crops that have been genetically modified to withstand the herbicide glyphosate and to be infused with the pesticide BT, or Bacillus thuringiensis. My fellow panelists included the presidents of the American Corn, Soy, and Hog Associations, and our audience was made up of the members of the biotech community. My summation went something like this. Having spent the summers of my youth hoeing weeds in Montana's Yellowstone River Valley, I know how precious your technology is to the farmers represented by my fellow panelists. Your genetically modified crops have made it possible for one farmer to grow thousands of acres of crops with no weeds or insect pests. Truly miraculous. You have made farmers represented by the panelists here very happy and yourselves very rich. However, sooner or later, people are going to come to you and say, hey, what's in your technology for me but food that has been drenched in herbicides and infused with pesticides? In fact, every year the U.S. is drenched with some 200 million pounds of the weed killer glyphosate. Manufacturers say this drenching is safe, but 4,000 individuals claim it caused their cancer and are taking Bayer Monsanto to court for damages. One of those individuals, Dwayne Lee Johnson, was granted an expedited trial due to the fact that he is dying. As his case is the first of thousands, and maybe even millions, we pause to speculate. Which will win, Dwayne Lee Johnson or Bayer Monsanto? Here to help us work through this situation, we have two warriors from the U.S. Right to Know organization. Stacy Malkin, we'll start with you. You're the co-founder and co-director of U.S. Right to Know, and you're also the co-founder of the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics and author of Not Just a Pretty Face. So you're pretty sensitive to these things, aren't you, girl?
Well, first of all, I'm not a lawyer. I'm an investigator and a reporter and a health advocate. I've looked for many years at what the science is saying about how the environment is linked to our health and linked to certain disease patterns that we're seeing. And recently I've focused, so I co-founded, as you mentioned, U.S. Right to Know, which is a nonprofit organization that's working for accountability and transparency in our food system. And we're just a few years old, and we're small. There's just four of us, Carrie and myself. Carrie is one of the premier, you know, reporters in the country who's been following this issue, this trial, and, you know, what Monsanto's been up to for the past couple of decades. And I've been writing about just sort of the bigger picture of how corporations respond to science that raises problems about their products, denying, avoiding, hiring front groups and spin groups to, you know, attack scientists and attack activists. And we see a lot of that going on behind the scenes around glyphosate and genetically engineered crops.
And what do you mean by right to know?
So, well, basically just that we have a right to know and people want the right to know what's in our food and what's happening behind the scenes of our food system. You know, what the companies are up to, lobbying to, you know, get the government to do what they want, but also lobbying the media and, you know, manufacturing doubt and using many different tactics about the health risks of their products. And with various spin groups. I mean, it's an incredible amount of money and effort that's going into trying to confuse the record about what's happening with GMOs and pesticides.
Mm-hmm. And you and many other organizations fought the industry for the right to know by requiring them to label their products. If it contains GMO, we want it to be right there on the label. What happened to that effort?
Yeah, so I worked on that was the California Right to Know campaign to label genetically engineered foods, and several other states tried to, you know, impose the public will by requiring labeling at the state level, and that was very, very threatening to the companies. They spent over $100 million trying to fight for state legislative campaigns just for a simple label that, you know, 60-plus other countries already have. They really just don't want consumers participating in decisions about what's happening to our food system. That's the bottom line. And that really became clear through the GMO labeling fights. And ultimately what happened was they pushed so hard in Congress to get Congress to make it illegal for states to label GMOs after Vermont was successful in passing a legislative bill. And now the whole thing is thrown to the USDA, and in a long delay and lots of controversy about what and when, if actually we'll get any clear labeling at all on GMO foods.
So the right to know goes on. The fight for the right
to
know.
The right to know fight absolutely goes on, not just for labeling, but as I said, you know, understanding what's going on behind the scenes with these companies. And because of the lawsuits, and because of our investigation at U.S. Right to Know, there are many, many documents that have come out just recently in the last few years that are really shining light on that behind-the-scenes system of manipulation.
Well, good, which is part of a big part of a huge story. Carrie Gilliam is also with us, and she is the research director for the U.S. Right to Know, also the author of Whitewash, the Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer, and the Corruption of Science. Woo, that's quite a title. Mm-hmm. Welcome aboard, Carrie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So when did you have this epiphany to write this story? What do you remember what it was that caused you to sit down and say, I have to do this, I have to write this book?
Well, you know, a lot of people have asked me that, and sadly, I have to say it wasn't my idea. A publisher actually came to me. I've been covering food and agriculture since 1998. I was assigned by Reuters, who I worked for, to cover food and agriculture, and based out of Kansas City. And so I spent the last 20 years, you know, visiting with farmers in their fields and scientists. I spent a lot of time inside Monsanto and Dow and DuPont, visiting with their marketing experts, their scientists and executives. So, you know, I really have had a very long and very deep, you know, research into this industry. And a publisher came to me a couple of years ago and said, would you write a book about this? And I said, I'm not sure anybody would read it, but sure, I'll write it. Surprisingly, it's getting quite a bit of attention because it's really my research and the work I've been able to pull together and all of the documents really does demonstrate that a handful of very powerful corporations are dictating a pesticide-dependent food production system. You know, it's and that's what we have right now. It's not very good for the environment. It's not very good for our health, but it's really highly profitable for a few corporations.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the best science that Monsanto's money could buy claims that glyphosate is safe. And now the best science that Bayer's money can buy will be saying that glyphosate is safe as well. How do you, as two private citizens, how do you fight the best science money can buy? And that science that they don't want you to know what you want to know. How do you do that?
I don't see this as a fight against their science. I think what we're doing at U.S. Right to Know is essentially what I've done my entire career, which as a journalist, you try to bring to light facts that are important for public policy and for public health, information the public has a right to know. My work and Stacy's work is really based on documentation, getting documents from the EPA, the USDA, the FDA, state universities, and documents from inside Monsanto, internal records. And in terms of the science, there's a really, you know, strong debate. Monsanto's science, as you said, does demonstrate the safety in many aspects of this chemical. But there are many epidemiology and toxicology studies that have been done around the world by independent scientists that contradict that. So what you need to understand are both sides. You need to take a look at all of this information, and you need to be able to weigh the risks and the rewards so that we can have a fair and just public policy to protect consumers.
And the only way you could do that, of course, is that if you had have the right to know what's in those documents.
Exactly.
The technology, when we come back from this quick break, folks, Michael Olson, Food Chain Radio Program. We're talking with the Warriors of Right to Know USA, Carrie Gilliam, Stacey Malkin, and you. Right back.
We're on the farm with Joel Salatin.
Would you like to buy homemade soup, backyard chicken, and the neighbor's artisanal lunch meat? The Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund protects your right to acquire the food of your choice from the source of your choice. I'm Joel Salatin from Polyface Farm, and I urge you to defend the right of neighbors to engage in direct food commerce. Join today at farmtoconsumer.org. The food of your choice from the source of your choice. That's farmtoconsumer.org. Farmtoconsumer.org. Thank you.
When you buy local American-grown flowers, flowers will grow and flourish in America. Hello, I'm Deborah Prinzing, author of Slow Flowers for Certified American-Grown Flowers. When you buy local flowers, you're helping our country's family farms reduce the transportation footprint of flowers and enjoy fresher, longer-lasting bouquets. So please, next time you shop for flowers, think local. Think Certified American-Grown Flowers. Visit AmericanGrownFlowers.org to learn more.
You can dream it, build it, own it, Metro Farm it. You can sow it, feed it, grow it, Metro Farm it. Ah, you can harvest it and dry it. You can sell it, Metro Farm it.
Learn how to dream it, build it, sow it, seed it, grow it, harvest it, sell it, Metro Farm it. Yes, you can do it. Dream it, build it, earn it, own it, Metro Farm it.
Oh, learn it, do it, earn it, Metro Farm it. Dream it, build it, own it. It's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it.
It's all in Metro Farm, the guide to growing for the city. Get your copy today at metrofarm.com.
It's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it.
And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
And we were talking about the new technology, the technologies that come in, that is coming out of the great consolidation of agriculture. Four companies now control so much of what we, what our farmers grow and what we eat. So a lot of that is going to become focused in a lawsuit coming up shortly, in which Dwayne Lee Johnson is taking on the Bayer Monsanto Corporation because he says their glyphosate is has given him cancer, and he is dying from that cancer. So it's going to be an incredibly important lawsuit because over 4,000 people have the same claim against Bayer. So could be a really big deal. And if these 4,000 succeed, I suspect there's going to be millions more. So let's focus in on that technology that is at the forefront of all of this, starting with the ability to re-engineer genes. Stacy, we've come up with some pretty clever technology. We can re-engineer genes. We started by inserting the gene of one species into that of another, came up with crops that could withstand glyphosate and be infused with BT, coming up with new technologies like the CRISPR-Cas9 that is a gene editing tool. So things are looking pretty promising if you have control of these technologies. But what's in it for us? those who eat the food?
Yeah, that's a good question, because we've heard all along for 30 years that promises of genetic engineering would bring us all sorts of consumer benefits that really haven't materialized. And the fact is, mostly this has been used as a tool to engineer herbicide tolerance. 90% of corn and 94% of the soy grown in the United States is genetically engineered to withstand glyphosate. And that's not been working. The weeds have developed resistance, and the companies have been moving to dicamba, older, more toxic pesticides, even the dicamba, which caused problems across the Midwest this year with farmers losing their crops due to unintentional drift, and then now 2,4-D. So it's really an escalating pesticide treadmill. Now we have, as you mentioned, these new CRISPR-Cas9 technologies, about which a lot is not known. And in fact, a study just came out last week in Nature Biotechnology showing, raising concerns about significant DNA damage that was unintentional due to the CRISPR system. So there's just a lot of, again, it all comes back to transparency around safety assessments, around a public process, around labeling and transparency, none of which we have seen with old, and we're not expecting to see with new genetic engineering technologies.
Well, okay. Carrie, is there anything wrong? Do we know if there's anything wrong with the actual GMOs themselves? I know that we have a big problem with the fact that they've been re-engineered to be able to withstand glyphosate and to be infused with pesticides. But is there anything, do we know of anything wrong with the actual manipulation of genes? Does it have some kind of impact on the genes themselves?
If you're talking about an impact on human health, is that what you're referring to?
Well, just the, yes, I guess so, but on animal health as well. If we re-engineer genes, does it have an impact on the food chain itself, the genetic structure of things?
And isn't that a great question? So from the day that they were introduced, there have been real concerns about this, and the concerns are very wide-ranging. So, you know, can there be unintended consequences from this alteration from outside the species? Can it create novel proteins and unintended allergens? Can it have an effect on the gut? Can it have a health effect on animals and people? There haven't been the kind of in-depth long-term studies that you would like to see on that sort of thing. There are certainly scientists and researchers who are concerned about this and who think that there is evidence that there are harmful health impacts for people and animals. But we don't have a great bulk of body of scientific research to tell us that. What we do know and what is indisputable are the environmental impacts that have come about because of genetically engineered.
From the glyphosate and whatnot.
Stacy's talked about that. Well, from the insect-resistant BT, which has created insect resistance, and the herbicide tolerance, of course, has created all sorts of weed resistance problems as well as pollinator problems. And then you have, of course, the concentration of, the control of the seed supply. You have we can't forget about the negative impacts on soil health.
And on and on. You know,
yeah, it goes on and on. So to answer your question, the science that I have seen over the last 20 years is less conclusive related to human health than it is environmental health.
Okay, good. I did see recently in the Wall Street Journal a report of those companies using the CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing tool, the stock of those companies collapsed because a report came out that the technology did in fact alter the genes of the organisms being manipulated. And that was kind of interesting, but who knows where all of this is going to go. But what we do know is that it has enabled agriculture to really fall in love with glyphosate. And though the companies that manufacture glyphosate, which is a constituent of Roundup herbicide, say that it's safe, significant amount of information coming out that not so safe at all. There's a huge litany of things that glyphosate has been shown to impact the body, the least of which is that it affects the body's ability to produce fully functioning proteins. Carrie?
Or you,
yeah. So I'm going to just go through the litany of them and help me out here. So it has a broad range of impact on the human body, does it not? Glyphosate?
So the science that exists out there has shown negative impacts on kidney, thyroid, liver. There is the link, of course, and the concern that the litigation hones in on with non-Hodgkin lymphoma. There are reproductive and fertility issues and concerns that have arisen through the research that's been done on glyphosate. And we need to make sure that we're talking about Roundup and glyphosate-based formulations, because the research has shown that it's the formulations that are more toxic than glyphosate by itself. And we have some new data that recently came out of our national toxicology program that underscores that as well. And the lawsuits are not alleging glyphosate caused cancer. They're alleging Roundup and formulations caused cancer. So there is that distinction, because glyphosate is never really sold and used by itself. It's sold and used in combination with what they call surfactants, other chemicals.
So what they do with the glyphosate is they mix it in a big tub with things that make it stick to things, right?
So the surfactants are used, right, to help the glyphosate adhere to the leaves of a plant and to be absorbed. And much as it works with plants is how it works on human skin. So if you get a little bit on your skin as you're spraying it, it's going to be absorbed into your body and into your bloodstream.
It makes it stick to your skin. If you're somebody like Dwayne Lee Johnson, who's been in the business of controlling weeds for a school district for many, many years, and has been using it like up to 40 times a year, mixing big tubs of this stuff, killing the weeds, that stuff sticks to your skin. And no matter how careful you are about protecting yourself. But, if you think about the heartland of our country, and if you were to go onto the internet and do a web search for glyphosate application patterns, you come to a map of the United States and you see the great heartland of the country turn bright red because of the amount, sheer amount of glyphosate used in the heartland on those principal crops of foundation crops of the food chain, the corn, the soybeans, and whatnot. Pretty much the whole country in the heartland is just red with glyphosate, and it's been designed to stick to things. So, wow, where are we going to go with all of this? That is the question on the food chain today. Michael Olson with the gals from the U.S. Right to Know, Carrie Gilliam and Stacy Malkin, and you do stay tuned.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, they say it's safe to use, but some say it's not so safe to use. And one of them would be Dwayne Lee Johnson, who has taken Monsanto Bayer to court. Why is he taking Monsanto Bayer to court? Because he is dying of cancer. And he believes, and has been told by others, that the what is the cancer that he has?
Non-Hodgkin. It's a form of non-Hodgkin lymphoma, which is a type of blood cancer.
Okay, so he's got a blood cancer and is in pretty dire straits. He has been granted an expedited trial because he is dying. And so this case is going to court, be it resolved. Who's guilty here? Was Dwayne Lee Johnson guilty for misusing Monsanto's Roundup herbicide? Or is Monsanto's Roundup herbicide, in fact, the cause of Dwayne Johnson's cancer? So tell us a little bit about the trial. Carrie, you've been watching this for a long time. What's going on?
Sure. Well, today, Monday, as we're talking, is the day that Dwayne Johnson actually testifies in court. And he's the first person, as you mentioned, to take Monsanto to trial. He wasn't the first to file a lawsuit. And he's one of roughly 4,000 people who have filed lawsuits against Monsanto. But he's the first to go to trial because he is dying. He's 46 years old. He's got two little boys and an older son. He's married, worked for a school district, Sprain, Roundup, and Ranger Pro, and other Monsanto glyphosate-based herbicides. As you said, you know, many, many, many times, he developed this these lesions on his skin. The type of non-Hodgkin lymphoma he has is essentially, it manifests as a skin disease. It is now into his lymph system and throughout his body, and the doctors have said he has weeks, maybe months to live. But he's the first to go to trial. They are bringing to light, you know, many, many pages of internal Monsanto documents that show that the company has been aware of many questions about the safety of this chemical for decades. And, you know, it's quite emotional. His wife has been in court with him and, you know, crying, and he's had a hard time listening to some of the testimony as well. So it's an emotional case for many people. It's also a really important case because if he does win, and his attorney has said they're going to ask for tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, if the jury finds in his favor, you know, that opens the door for, you know, many, many more people. And, you know, that we could be looking at another tobacco litigation, you know, asbestos litigation. We could be looking at hundreds of millions, over $1 billion in damages, perhaps, if the juries believe that Monsanto has known and hidden the risks, as they're alleging.
Carrie, can you imagine, or let's go to Stacy with this one. Stacy, can you imagine Bayer's deliberations when they were considering the purchase of Monsanto and their measure, or their, you know, kind of weighing, well, we're going to have this much risk with this guy. We're going to have a guy sitting there dying in front of the jury. Ain't looking good, but how much money are we making over here? So they must have decided that they can make enough money from glyphosate and Roundup and whatnot to be able to afford all this, right?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, wouldn't you love to have heard those deliberations? But, you know, unfortunately, the fact is, and this is a pattern, a larger pattern than Monsanto, and this issue, it's happened over and over again when companies have been sued for, and at times documents have shown knowingly hiding health risks of products for a long periods of time, but yet making so much in profits that even with payouts, you know, they're still coming out ahead. People are not going to jail. It's a system that is really stacked against the public interest, against science really being used as a guide to make good decisions. And, you know, this is one, this particular case with the glyphosate and the cancers and the many other potential health risks that are not even being considered in these trials. You know, but this is an issue that matters to all of us because most of us are being exposed to glyphosate. It's in lots of different food products. Carrie's done some excellent reporting on that. And as you said, being sprayed across the Midwest. I mean, 90% of corn and 94% of soy grown in this country is sprayed with glyphosate. And so it's just a system that's really not working for the environment, for farmers, for the food system. And the food system's struggling. You know, people are responding by really with dramatically changing the way they've bought and thought about food. A lot more people are buying organic. They're demanding to know how their food is grown and where it's come from. And the food industry is really struggling with that right now.
Well, recently we featured a story in which 10 wines from the Napa and Sonoma valleys were tested for glyphosate, and all 10 came back testing positive. Even the wine that was grown on an organic biodynamic farm was tested positive. So it seems to be, it's in mother's milk now. It's everywhere, this glyphosate stuff. So going back to the trial, how is Monsanto going to defend itself, Carrie?
Well, it's interesting. They did, when you talk about the food residues, of course, that's not the exposure that Johnson is alleging caused the development of his cancer.
Right.
But Monsanto did, in a pretrial motion, ask the judge to exclude any discussion or evidence about glyphosate residues in our foods. The judge turned Monsanto down on that and said, you know, if that's relevant, we can introduce that. But it is true that glyphosate, these weed killer residues, we certainly the data that has come to light so far indicates it's pretty prevalent. You talked about wine. Grapes, we know from EPA reports that about 1.5 million pounds of glyphosate are used on average every year in the production of grapes, you know, many of that in vineyards. So, you know, it's also used not only with corn and soy, we talk about that, but it's used, you know, with barley and alfalfa and wheat. And
schoolyards, like Dwayne Lee Johnson was doing, you know, he was tending the schoolyard.
Well, it's sprayed right in parks and school grounds. It's used in forestry management. It's sprayed on our golf courses. People use it in their lawn, on their lawn, in their gardens. And, of course, it's used in conjunction with dozens and dozens of food crops. So it's found in our air, our water, our food, and our own bodies, you know, pretty commonly in our own urine now. So it's pervasive.
It's here, it's there, it's everywhere. I think we did a piece a long time ago with the University of San Francisco. They were doing random tests of blood that came in for testing other things, and they discovered that something like 97% of the blood set that they sampled from around the country tested positive for glyphosate. So it's just in everything, and it's just something that we're all going to have to contend with. And that makes the Johnson Bayer trial so fascinating, because here you've got a very sick man and his wife crying next to him going up against one of the biggest corporations in the world. And they're going to be this is a jury trial. There's going to be people sitting in judgment of this. It's not going to be a judge, but this is going to be people. So what are those people going to think, and how are they going to react? This is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson with Carrie Gilliam, also Stacy Malkin from the U.S. Right to Know. Do you think we should have the right to know? Right back.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We are back. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson, today we're looking at the trial of Dwayne Lee Johnson, a school groundskeeper in Benicia, California, who came down with some serious skin lesions. Turns out to be a form of blood cancer. He's believes that this cancer was caused by the Monsanto Corporation's Roundup herbicide containing glyphosate and other things, things to make that glyphosate stick to things. And so he's taking Monsanto Bayer to court. Bayer, of course, bought Monsanto, fully knowing that these lawsuits were going to come to being. One of 4,000 lawsuits, or one of 4,000 claims against Bayer, Monsanto. So this is going to be big one way or another. If Dwayne Lee Johnson prevails and Monsanto or Bayer has to pay many millions and hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars, then that's just one of 4,000 cases that I have to come to grips with. So they must have bet on it. They must have known that they can take this and still make enough money to get by and win. Is that how you see this, Carrie?
Well, certainly, as Stacy mentioned earlier, it is sort of the cost of doing business. We've seen this with DuPont and Dow and Monsanto in the past. They more than make up for any damage awards that they pay out in the profits that they generate over these decades. So it is very much usually just seen as a cost of doing business. Nobody goes to jail. They just go on and continue their way. So, you know, I don't think that this is going to deter Bayer and the subsidiary Monsanto from continuing to sell their products. It could, if there are indeed, you know, findings for the plaintiffs, for Johnson and others, you know, eventually this will probably impact the regulatory scheme for glyphosate. Mm-hmm. I mean, one other factor, though, that we're not talking about is glyphosate is not working like it used to, and that's right. Why farmers are increasingly looking for alternatives. So even if we don't you know, ever decide that it really causes cancer and it should be pulled from the market, farmers are looking for alternatives already because weed resistance is so strong that it doesn't work like it used to.
Weeds and bugs are among the world's most smartest critters, are they not? You spray something on it and they figure out how to get away with it. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk about was the collusion between Monsanto and the EPA in setting up this regulatory structure, and how Monsanto fought against those people who were trying out the science. Is this for real or is it not? They were ghostwriting articles. They were suppressing publication. They were condemning scientists. And somehow it seemed like the EPA was working with them. Is that true, Carrie?
Well, those are certainly the allegations that are out there. And the Office of Inspector General said that they were looking into these allegations because they were so worrisome. There was a few individuals, one individual in particular named Jess Rowland, but others as well, who you can see in the document trail. You can see them working very hard and being very friendly, cozy with Monsanto officials on issues that pertain to glyphosate and the assessment of glyphosate safety. And there's one case I wrote about that I think is such a good example. There was a different agency of our government. We call it the ATSDR, Toxic Substances Disease Registry, that wanted to take a look at glyphosate and review its toxicity, and Monsanto didn't want them to do it. And they reached out to some top EPA officials and got their help and made this ATSDR review go away of glyphosate. So you see that. You see a lot of other examples. You see Monsanto sending the EPA talking points for how to talk about glyphosate. You see them basically getting supervisors to overrule the own internal EPA toxicologist who said they thought glyphosate looked like it could cause cancer. You know, there's a long history of influence and arm twisting that's gone on within that agency.
Stacy, is this something you see with other issues that you folks fight for in the U.S. right to know, this relationship between industry and government? Where I don't know if Michael Taylor is still involved with the federal government, but there you have a former Monsanto vice president, you know, giving advice and setting policy. It still goes on, does it not?
Yes, unfortunately, it's a big problem with the revolving door, people in and out of industry and government, and just an incredible influence and power that corporations have over government decisions around chemicals and our health. And, you know, we need to take back our system, is how I see it. I don't think that these issues should be being decided in courts with, you know, these jurors, who I really feel for these jurors having to spend all these many weeks trying to make this monumental decision. I think these decisions should be made by science and by a real public.
But by whose science?
You know, by an honest airing of science that doesn't allow corporations to secretly ghostwrite and, you know, wield influence behind the scenes in ways that aren't transparent.
Is there such a thing?
We need to create it. I mean, some systems work better. Certainly, Europe has some stronger regulations around chemicals and health, and it most certainly can be done better. And we just have a very bad example here in the United States of the chemical industry getting away with continuing to sell chemicals that cause harm and not being held accountable. I think it's probably not going to be as easy for them as they're hoping to lose all that baggage from the past. And I think of it not even so much in terms of a shell game, but it's really about just the concentration of wealth and power into the hands of a very few, fewer than ever, corporations, all of which have long histories of deceiving the public about the health risks of their products.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We do have so much to talk about and so little time to talk about it in, and this is a huge, monumental case sitting in, at the hands of the court here in California, Duane Lee Johnson versus Bayer Monsanto. First of 4,000 cases claiming that Monsanto, Bayer's glyphosate Roundup herbicide and the variants thereof, cause cancer. The World Health Organization says it is a probable cause of cancer. California has agreed and says it is probable cause of cancer. So there is a lot of firepower aligned on both sides of this issue. So I'm going to ask the folks at the Right to Know, Stacey Malkin and Carrie Gillam, what they think. Who's going to win this? Stacey, let's start with you.
I sure don't know. Carrie, what do you think?
Throw it to me. Well, I'll tell you.
Well, wait a minute. Carrie, you've been watching this for a long time, and you have a very good sense of what those jurors are thinking and what the attorneys are thinking for Bayer Monsanto. If anybody has a pretty good, you know, shot at this, it would be you. What do you think?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I the geek here who reads every document and talks to every person. I've written and I say, I think it's a high hill to climb. I think to prove that one substance in a world filled with, you know, environmental contaminants caused a specific cancer in one specific individual is a really high hill to climb. And that, you know, that always, not only in this situation, but always favors the defendants. The science out there doesn't speak to one individual, one chemical, one causation. So I think it's a high hill to climb. That said, the defendants certainly have a wealth of, you know, scientific expertise. And their experts were speaking on their behalf. It is indisputable that Johnson was not only spraying this, but was doused in this at least a couple of times when hoses broke and it, you know, washed through his protective gear, and that his disease started to manifest shortly after he was doused in this way. And it's indisputable that Monsanto refused. He reached out and called Monsanto and said, could this cause cancer? I'm worried. I have these things all over my body. And I was, you know, and Monsanto never responded to him, never got back to him. So I think that plays to a jury, right? So you don't know. I think it's going to be a close call for sure. We'll see.
Well, I guess when it gets right down to it, we never know until it comes out. But it is a jury trial. So, you know, you have the science of it, but you also have the emotion of it. And you have these jurors who were sitting in the box, you know, watching the defendant literally die in front of them, and, you know, the reaction of his wife and his family. So all kinds of things can happen, but that's the nature of it. So everybody stay tuned. It's coming down the pike. Wanted to give a big thanks to Stacey Malkin and Carrie Gillam from the U.S. Right to Know. And, you know, when it gets right down to it, I do believe we should have the right to know. I think that the more information we know, the better we can all protect ourselves. And there are some that just don't want us to know, and we have to figure out how to sneak around there, sneak into the bathroom window and steal all the information, I guess. Thank you both for joining us, and thank you all out there for tuning in. Remember Michael Olson's third law of the food chain: cheap food isn't. Thank you all. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Stacey.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.